Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
They couldn't think of a circumstance in which this procedure was the absolutely only procedure that could be used in a given case.
Jack Kevorkian has one main interest, and that's Jack Kevorkian, and his next interest is death. Somebody else's, not his.
The people in the United States are not looked upon as innocent in the eyes of jihadists because these people participate by voting during the election and electing the government. They are just as guilty as soldiers fighting on the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I also would like to thank our friends here in the media. May God spare us from all of the bad things they can do to us.
Well, that is an excellent prayer.
Hey, before we get started, what is the name of that, the thing I just ate? Cruda brought over some, I don't even know what to call it. It's yellow. It's like cheesecake on the top, and then it kind of slowly, as it goes down, it kind of slowly morphs into some sort of a crust. And it's in the little box in there, underneath your cannoli or whatever it is that you must have gotten by special request, Craig. What is the name? It's not gooey butter cake, but it's very close to it. It's very delicious, too. I have to know the name of it because my wife is going to want to know.
I don't know. Craig and I have been working too hard to indulge ourselves into the Cruda goodies, so we wouldn't know.
Yes, since I just breezed in here about 15 minutes ago, after having left Jeff and Craig to handle the masses and the work and all that kind of stuff, I guess I'm asking the wrong people. It's Issues Etc. Friday afternoon, July the 2nd. It's been a very busy day here. I've had a busy day elsewhere, and we're ready to go. We've got email to read, comment line to listen to, soundbite of the week to play, and in between those two, I think we'll pick blog of the week. We'll also talk with Colleen Carol Campbell about macabre art. I mean, you've seen these things, haven't you? These exhibits that go from major cities. They are actual human bodies, dead human bodies, that have been somehow magically preserved and then posed in various artistic and sometimes athletic and sometimes just interesting or strange poses. And I've been to one of these exhibits. I think I've actually been twice to one. And we'll talk to Colleen Carol Campbell about that a little bit later in the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, we are coming to you live this Friday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Email us. We'll be reading your email here in just a moment. talkback@issuesetc.org. Twitter us @issuesetc. You can always visit our Facebook fan page, a busy place lately, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Issue ETT?
I thought I said issues ETC.
It must still be some of that cheesecake, whatever it was, from Cruda Bakery.
I don't know what it was, but it was good.
Thank you, Mary and Jim Cruda. Mary, yeah, Stopped by. You missed her, but she said tell you hi.
Okay, so who was here?
Oh, boy,
when I was?
A bevy of activity.
All right,
the
tell
Fisk
me.
Fisk family. Pastor Jonathan Fisk from Pennsylvania. He and his lovely three girls and his lovely bride, who I think looks like Nicole Kidman, but nobody's ever told her that before, so it just must be me.
Did you thank him for inserting the little kitten with the hat thing on his one video that he's done recently?
I did do that both by email and in person.
Excellent.
And I encourage people to check out Pastor Fisk's YouTube videos. Also, they were all the way from Pennsylvania, and then the John and Kathy Poindexter and Nathan Poindexter and Grace Poindexter, their daughter, were all here from St. Charles, Missouri. And so it was great seeing the Poindexter family as well.
They just came out here to, what, kind of close to anniversary?
Yeah, second year anniversary, and they wanted to stop by, and Mary Crew to stop by as well, and of course, as always, Crew to Bakery, our favorite bakery, our only bakery.
Yeah, it's our only bakery, yes.
300 St. Louis Road. Anybody near St. Louis, get your stuff from Cruda Bakery, 618-344-1115. 618-344-1115, Cruda Bakery, 300 St. Louis Road, here in Collinsville.
See, he's got it memorized. I mean, he's actually got all that stuff memorized.
I've got it up on my screen.
And then, let's see, they brought a cake, an anniversary cake, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Are you going to post that on the Facebook fan page?
As soon as we get a picture of it, it'll go up there. I have to figure out what order all these things are going to go up there before I start putting things up. This week has just flown by for me.
Good news, so, while you were talking, we do have a guest for the second hour to fill that about 20 minutes hole there.
Really? Who's it going to be?
Dr. Curtis Giese from Concordia University, Texas, will be on to talk about The Visitation.
Excellent. Excellent.
So we're all set.
Radio is always last minute. We love your email. We always like reading it, and we try and read as much of it on the air as we possibly can. And as usual, we usually, if we can, start with email that is critical of something we said, something we done, or something we're doing, because we like to deal with it, ready to deal with your criticism. What is it?
Well, David, David has several criticisms, so I'm going to stop and let you respond. In response to your show about the C3 exchange, this is the one yesterday about the church that removed the cross from its steeple and decided to no longer take the name Christian out of their church. David writes, I thought I'd correct a mistake. You stated about halfway through the broadcast that amongst the Christians, Jews, Muslims that attend the C3 exchange, that you would find atheists there and their holy book would be Darwin's Origin of the Species. A true atheist would not be in a church of any denomination, and atheists I know do not read the Origin of Species as a religious text. The Origin of Species is a scientific theory about how species have adapted to their environment. It is no way a religious text. You might find agnostics in C3, but not an atheist. Contrary to your and others' belief, it is possible to teach moral and ethical behaviors without involving God, Yahweh, Allah, and others. Is it just barely possible that is the intent of the C3 exchange? I'll let you comment so far.
Well, I'm certain it's probably very close to the intent of the C3 exchange. Now, as to when I said Darwin's Origin of the Species, I don't know what the authoritative text that the atheists are going to use there. I never said it was a religious text. I just said it was viewed as an authoritative text. And so I don't think atheists or anyone who actually takes Darwin's Origin of Species seriously consider it to be a religious text, so I didn't present it that way. It's simply an authoritative text for them. I think it's safe to say that most atheists would take it seriously as an authoritative text, or at least the beginning of the conversation on how we ought to view the world. Pure materialism, blind chance, no need for God, right? I think that's fair to say. It is possible to teach moral tenets without reference to God. It is not impossible to teach them as absolutely true or as universal without God. You can say it's wrong for me or for you to do that. You can't say it's wrong for everyone to do that. You can teach morality. You can't teach moral absolutes without a reference to God. Atheism, just admit it, atheism cannot teach moral absolutes. It can teach practical morality, situational morality, and it can very often mirror that of Christian morality. I mean, there's a reason for that. It's written on the heart. But to teach those things as absolutely right or absolutely wrong is logically impossible for the atheist, because there's nothing other than man to base these things upon, and water does not rise above its own level.
David continues, as far as a place in heaven, some people don't need the carrot on the end of the stick promise or the eternal damnation threat in order to lead good lives.
Well, the point of Christianity, of course, is not to lead a good life. It may be for the atheist. I don't know. I'm not an atheist. But the goal of Christianity is not to lead a good life. The goal of Christianity is eternal communion with God. A return to the Creator. And that can only be affected by God coming to us in the person of Jesus Christ and atoning for the sins of the whole world, which he did at the cross. And he did not do that as a means to an end, that is, as a means to making us better people or living a good life. He did that as an end itself, in itself. It is the atonement for sins. It is salvation. It is forgiveness. It is justification. So, and you know, a lot of Christians don't know this either. They don't know that Christianity isn't about living a better life or living a good life. It's actually a lot more about dying than it is about living. It's about death to self, living to God and to others. If you want to describe the Christian life in any way, that's how the Bible would describe it. So heaven isn't a carrot, and hell is not a threat for the Christian. Heaven is home, and hell is no threat whatsoever to the Christian. He simply needs not worry about it because he has been redeemed from hell by Christ's death, and his good or bad life just has nothing to do with that.
David continues, I've also noticed in some of your other shows that you seem to have a great concern over the Episcopal Church and their election and appointment of gay and women priests. The Episcopal Church has done and is doing just fine. Thanks for your concern, but maybe you should just concentrate on the Lutheran Church and its problems.
Ooh, there's so much there. I mean, if I concentrate on the Lutheran Church and its problems, which I think I do, very often my concern for people don't realize this. I think a lot of people who've listened for years never realize this. My concern for, say, the Episcopal Church USA and their practices, or for the UCC, or for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, my concern there is largely born out of my concern for my own Lutheran Church, because they are where we will be if we keep going the way we go. Now, it's not that I don't have individual concerns for Episcopalians who are being misled by false teaching. I do. But to be honest with you, I consider them worthy to talk about because they are bellwethers. They are, in fact, say they're the engine on the train of which perhaps Lutheranism is the caboose or the third card from the end. And as long as the train keeps going that direction, so will we. And by the way, the Episcopal Church USA is not doing just fine. It's in rapid decline. We'll be right back. If you call, I will answer.
If you fall. The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
No praise music allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. It's Friday afternoon, the 2nd of July. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We're still in that first email, aren't we, Jeff?
Yes, some more criticism from David. And thanks for listening, David. And keep continue to listen, please. Maybe one day you and your listeners will wake up to the fact that organized religion is a construct of man that was put in place to maintain power and control over people.
Well, I guess several responses there. First of all, I don't know what disorganized religion looks like. I don't know what unorganized religion looks like. I mean, if someone can show it to me, every religion there is organized. Now, if he's speaking about religion in general, I would certainly say that all religions but Christianity are certainly that. They are man-made constructs, ultimately to either serve someone else having power and control or having power and control over your own life. All other religions but Christianity. Christianity is not man-made. I know that's shocking. I know that that sounds stupid to many people, but Christianity is not the invention of men. It is the revelation of God. And while outwardly Christianity appears to have many similarities with other, I'm talking about institutionally, many similarities with other religions, if you actually examine Christianity, what it teaches, compared to other religions, you will note one striking difference between Christianity and all other religions, whatever they may be. Christianity teaches that man's dilemma is his sin from which he cannot extricate himself, and the only solution for that is for God to do what man cannot do in his place. Only Christianity teaches that God has entered into our world and borne our sin himself. And paid for it at the cross. And that God came to us to save us. All other religions, in one form or another, teach that man has a problem, but it's really up to man to solve that problem through his own efforts, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. But examine them. And you will find that, honestly examine Christianity and other religions, and you will see that Christianity, just simply based, you don't have to say it's true, just simply based upon what Christianity actually teaches, is different in that respect from every other religion.
And finally, one last point. He said, regarding Colleen Carroll Campbell and her talk about making the terms in the pro-choice, pro-life discussions accurate, perhaps she and your listeners should consider that women who have had miscarriages should be labeled murderers because a human life was taken. It doesn't matter if it was voluntary or involuntary. Also, what about all those eggs that get fertilized but don't attach to the uterine wall and get flushed out during the monthly cycle? That would include most, if not all, women, which would make them murderers as well. Because remember, we want to keep the terms accurate. That would also include men and boys who pleasure themselves and spill their seed, murderers as well. I expect that this will fall on deaf ears, David writes, but it's what I've come to expect.
Well, I think those last thoughts that David expressed are really rather callous and rather thoughtless against women. I mean, To insinuate that this is what is implied by those who want to protect unborn children, I think monumentally fails to understand the real concern that people who are pro-life have about the needless death of those unborn children. Now, if he wants to carry his logic to its conclusion, then we at least agree in this. That women who voluntarily abort their children take a human life. Now, that's what he's actually trying to avoid. He's trying to say that if miscarriage isn't murder, then abortion can't be murder either. But it fails to see the difference between miscarriage as something that happens beyond a woman's control and abortion as being intentional. You know, you just don't accidentally get an abortion. Miscarriages do accidentally occur. But you don't accidentally walk in and get an abortion. And I think his comments, I mean, in addition to being rather callous and thoughtless toward women, are fail to understand exactly that basic moral difference there.
Hello. Congratulations on another year. I want to commend Jeff for his diligent work at getting so many great guests on. Craig, for keeping the boards going and trying to keep the other two fellows straightened out. And even Todd. Your range of subjects that you cover and the depth that you cover them is amazing. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to hear from friendly voices at the second anniversary. And I think he took it in exactly the right order. I mean, the as today has proven, the lion's share of the work is done by the two guys on the other side of the glass, and sometimes I just show up and here I am. Such is the outcome. So I think he took it in exactly the right order, especially the part about Craig keeping the other two in line.
You're just taking Jesus literally when the last shall be first and the first shall be last, aren't you?
No, I just know how things work around here.
No,
it's true. The most dispensable spoke in this wheel is me. I know it. I understand that. The most dispensable leg of the stool is me. And it's proven. It's proven. The only thing that you two can't do without me is actually put on the show, but you can do everything else without me.
Jeff proved
earlier today by conducting an interview for – they don't even need me here to interview people. He interviewed somebody today, and I was at the airport. So I know how things work. I just know exactly how things work around here.
Let me tell you something. You do a lot better job reading this email than I do. I can tell you that right now.
Yes, I mean, yeah, it's my one skill.
By the way, that was your dad, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Why are you keeping a secret? You know, just say hi, Dad.
I don't have to show all my cards all the time.
Well, considering that our families make up half our listening audience, because my mom is listening right now, because it's the only member, that's the only time she listens is
when you're on the air, yeah.
First hour on Friday, because I'm actually on the air. And by the way, belated happy birthday, mother. She turned 76 yesterday.
Oh, well, so happy birthday to Mama Schwartz. You say our families make up half our audience, maybe my parents, but nobody else. I can assure you right now, there's nobody in the Wilkin clan listening to this. Nobody.
You know what? Remember we used to joke when we were at the KFU, always like, nobody listens to us. Nobody listens. I think that might be why they fired us. They took us seriously.
That's true.
Nobody listens to us.
But you've always said, what's the number one mistake in radio?
You assume you have too many listeners is the number one
what's
mistake.
What's the number two mistake?
You assume you have no listeners. So you just don't care what you say or do.
And what was the third one? I can't remember what it is.
I don't know. Don't work for LCMS Inc. Don't do radio for LCMS Inc.
There you go.
Speaking of that, here's some more criticism. This is Brian in Germany. He says, criticism, I'm not a fan of the hymn studies. And secondly, I don't like to hear you disparage the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Stop holding a grudge and stop bad-mouthing them. You aren't helping anybody by complaining about how bad it was is there. I'm all for you campaigning for a new Synod president, but other than that, you ought not to say another word about them. Avoid politics. I know it's hard to talk about. This is a second issue. This isn't politics. Missouri Synod. He's saying avoid politics in the culture. I know it's hard to talk about current events without getting into politics. You guys do so many good shows without ever going near the political issues. I like those shows better. And praise, he says, you have the best radio show I've ever heard, and I'll continue to listen. Love the sermon reviews, writes Brian, who listens in Germany.
All right, Brian. Thank you for listening in Germany, by the way. We are less, let me go backward in order, we are less overtly political in the last 2 years than we have ever been before. I dare say that if you go back, we talk about issues, social and moral, but except for the presidential elections, I just honestly don't think we've bothered with politics, to tell you the truth. I personally, the older I get, find politics incredibly boring. I mean, there's a time in everyone's life when they're all worked up about it. But I'm only speaking for myself. The older I get, the more incredibly boring I find civil politics. So you almost have to force me to deal with those issues. Now, he asked about us holding a grudge. Hey, I'm the first one to admit that there is still a lot of grudge there. I'm not going to say there's no grudge. I would be a liar if I didn't say that there weren't hard feelings. Those feelings aren't right. But I don't think we're picking on LCMS Inc. What did he say? Disparaging LCMS Inc.? I don't think we're disparaging it. I think we're trying to tell the truth. Now, I try and keep and this is not always done, but I try and keep my criticism of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, of which, by the way, I am still a rostered member of the clergy. I have no other connection to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod other than that. All those have been severed, but I'm still a rostered member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod clergy and serve one of its congregations. We're simply trying to tell the truth about it. Do we do it with pure hearts? Absolutely no. We don't do anything. I'm not doing this with a pure heart right now. So, and there was one other thing that he brought up. Oh, the sermon reviews. Generally speaking, I think that is reflective of our audience.
No, he likes hymn studies. He doesn't like hymn studies, likes sermon reviews.
Oh, okay. So he likes the sermon reviews, doesn't like hymn studies. I mean, to each his own. To tell you the truth, when I first started doing this job, I didn't like the hymn studies very much either. I really didn't. I mean, I found them, they seemed like, I don't know, listen to a hymn, talk a little bit about it at first. Now I've been doing hymn studies for more than a decade now on this program. And the longer I sit behind this microphone, the more I like them. I think sometimes the best theology that we get out on the air, the best Christ-centered, cross-focused theology that we manage to get out on the air, gets out during our hymn studies. Because it's there in the hymn, it's there in the scriptures. So keep listening. You might change your mind. When we come back, some more listener email. We'll go to the comment line. It's Friday afternoon, July the 2nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Waiting to board a flight, I noticed a group of young men wearing National Guard backpacks. They look so young. I watched family members tearfully saying goodbyes. It was easy to pick out mom and dad from the group. One parent said her son just graduated from high school 3 days before. I told her my wife and I experienced the exact same thing, and we'd also seen our own son off to Iraq. I said, "You'll get through this. By the grace of God and lots of prayer, the Lord will see you through." And I thank those parents for their sacrifice, too. Please pray for these brave and patriotic youngsters and their parents. I know from experience the pain in offering a precious child to protect our country. Pray for safety for our troops and peace for their families.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back. We're going through listener email on this Friday afternoon. We always start with the criticism, and we're still not done with it. We've got at least one more, if I remember correctly, looking through the email before the program. What's next?
This is Paul. He says, here are three critical questions to ask when making critical decisions in the critical matter of bump music. Apparently now a more critical concern given the now regular source of music citations on the website. One, can the bump music be understood by the audience as a whole? Do you want to do these individually or all at once?
Let's do them individually.
Okay.
So he's asking, can the bump music be understood like the actual words of the why it's there? It's always there for a reason. We just don't play music to play music. If we don't have something that's pertinent or in some way related or in some way evocative of the topic that we're talking about, we just use our generic music. And but we've always tried to include pop music bumps. There's a couple reasons for this. Number one, that's where it belongs. I mean, this is where it belongs, and it belongs as bump music, as music to be listened to and enjoyed. It doesn't belong in church on Sunday morning. It belongs for entertainment. And a lot of times, I mean, I'm not aware of the I know why I think the bump music is there and why it needs to be there. It's a transition. It's a reminder to people of what we're talking about. Sometimes it's a little poke at humor, all those kinds of things. And yes, we do try our hardest to make sure that it's called the hook, is understood by the listeners. Do we always succeed? Not necessarily. So we try and make sure that it's always at least as clear as it can be. And if it isn't clear, it just doesn't make the cut.
Question two, does the bump music over time reflect the reasonably perceived previous popular music experience of the audience as a whole? That's a generational thing.
That's a tough one. All I can say it actually reflects is perhaps the pop music tastes of the three guys sitting here, which are pretty limited, and then whatever we happen to find as we search and comb pop music for the bumps we're looking for. Does it represent our audience's musical taste? I can say pretty certainly older listeners, no. Younger listeners, no. Baby boomers, probably yes. I mean, tail-end baby boomers like us, probably yes. People have said, why don't you have something that's more current with what kids are actually listening to today? Well, we try. We try, although I find that, I mean, when it comes to, I've got a young adult daughter. Her musical tastes are pretty much what my musical tastes were when I was
funny,
in high school.
These guys that took me to the airport, back to the airport, at Tire Things Lutheran Youth Conference, they're listening to like classic rock.
Yes,
and I was like,
absolutely,
guys.
Absolutely.
What? I was like, you know, one was like 19 and the other one was like 25. And I was like, guys, what are you listening to this music? He says, we don't have any good music. I was like shocked.
They feel like, really, they honestly feel like they're kind of the way we did during the disco era. That music had just gone completely down the toilet with a vengeance. And you had to go someplace else for your entertaining music. And these are kids that are listening to, they know at least my perception as being a father of one, they know the music of my era better than I know it. It's amazing.
By the way, when I look at bump music on iTunes, I do look at the popularity, the bar across, to see how many downloads it does have. Because I don't know all the recent music either, but it'll catch my attention that if this has lots of downloads, you know what I'm talking about, that little popularity graph, that I do look at that very closely.
I never pay attention to that. I just listen and say, hey,
You're talking about Emma liking kind of the music that we grew up with. Here's all I want to know from your daughter, Emma Wilkin. Sammy Hagar or David Van Halen?
I mean, David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
First of all, I think it would probably have to be, Diamond Dave, that era of Van Halen.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think Sammy has a greater appeal with women than David Lee Roth does.
You don't know, man. Do you remember with David Lee Roth? I think the women kind of liked him a little bit.
He's rough. I mean, he's rough. Sammy was...
No. David Lee Roth, he was playful. In his younger days, I mean, he looks like death now.
Come on, he wore that leather stuff with the sleeveless stuff. Come on, he looked like a biker.
That was. I mean, no one would have dressed that way.
Okay, let me ask you this: if your daughter brought one of the two home on a date, David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar, honestly, which one? And I'm just talking about not their music. I'm just talking about them as persons. Which would you prefer she date? Come on, it's got to be the red rocker, Sammy Hagar.
Well, to tell you the truth, if I had to choose between the two, if my daughter's dating days end tomorrow, I would have to say Sammy Hagar.
Yes.
He strikes me as someone who'd probably be more of a gentleman.
That's right.
Than David Lee Roth. But
now I'm going to hear from Craig how Sammy Hagar's effeminate. That's what I'm going to hear the rest of the day.
How do we get off on this? Bump music. Did you say something about bump music?
Oh, one final thing. Does the bump music pass the test of Philippians 4:8 and, more critical, avoid blasphemy?
Yeah, we try never to blaspheme. That's not something we want to do. Philippians 4:8, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is beautiful. Yeah, I think it actually does the way we use it. Now, we do not vouch for anything outside the 30-second window of the bump music. We do not vouch for anything outside of that that you might hear in any of this music. So so if you're talking about the music as a whole, the song as a whole, maybe no, maybe yes. If you're talking about the bump music and the way we use it, we are definitely trying to remain within Philippians 4:8.
Hello, this is Christopher in Iowa. I was calling in response to the segment you had about the church in Michigan, which has changed its name to C3 Exchange. A couple of comments. One was that the pastor of the church had said that they were wanting to be a church where making a difference was a hallmark of their ministry, and I couldn't help but wonder if they had completely lost sight of the fact that preaching the gospel of Christ crucified can make the greatest difference, as opposed to things like composting and environmental works like that. And also, the other comment I had was about the name change. It seems appropriate that they've changed it to C3 Exchange in light of Paul's words, letter to the Romans, claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. The church has exchanged the glory of God for human things, community, making differences in an earthly way. I think this is as the pastor who was commenting about this said, it is right that they have changed the name and removed the cross, because that is who they are. But what a sad, sad commentary for the Christian church in this age. Thank you very much.
And I think so. You know, and I think a lot of Christian churches have forgotten this, that the change that Christ has commanded them to bring in the world is first and foremost the message of his saving work. And when that's viewed as peripheral, irrelevant, or applicable only to the individual and his personal relationship with God, it is completely forgotten the impact that this has. It brings life and forgiveness, and it spreads life and forgiveness wherever it goes. A very, very good comment. By the way, Steve and Bonnie Fox, my little IM thing is open, and I happen to glance down. And it was either Steve or Bonnie, probably Bonnie, said David Lee Roth was gross. And I responded. Jeff sitting there taking his victory lap. I responded.
It's actually my touchdown, Jesus.
I responded, you mean ultra cool? And she said, no, but I never really got into the guys in rock bands. I really did just listen for the music. It is Bonnie, by the way. We don't want to say Steve got into the guys in the rock band, just listen to the music. Yeah, but David Lee Roth, he was kind of an icon for teenage boys. I mean, one of the teenage boys, you wanted to be. You couldn't pull off, but you wanted to be David Lee Roth.
And I think Steve serves in the military, and coming up on this 4th of July, thanks for protecting us, Steve. We appreciate that and your service.
Pass that along, Bonnie, if you would, to Steve.
Hey, back to bump music, and if I was a good producer, we would have read that after the criticism bump music before we played the comment line, but I'm not a very good producer. This is Michael in Strasburg, Illinois. He says, I'm an on-demand listener who typically downloads the podcast almost as soon as they are posted. Things were a bit slow getting up on iTunes today, so I looked up on the website to see if the audio was up there yet. That was when I noticed the new feature on the on-demand page of the website, an iTunes playlist of the bump music used in that day's broadcast. It looks like this is a new feature that has just gone up this week, but I wanted to give you guys two thumbs up for the new feature. There have been so many times that I have wondered what a certain song was that you use for bump music. Now we can know without pestering Jeff or Craig with an annoying email. Is this like the Amazon links on so many other websites? What do you get for a cut for each song purchased when we click there from the Issues Etc. website? Thanks again for all that you do. Love listening to the show, even if it is a few hours delayed. And thank you, Michael, in Strasburg, Illinois.
What we're actually doing there is we're trying to follow a pattern that is set by other talk radio programs that use pop music bumps or any kind of music incorporated into their broadcast, which is kind of standard operating procedure in talk radio. And we're just following their model. Who is it? Laura Ingraham now does this. She posts her bump music for each day.
NPR.
NPR has done it for years. They actually access and allow access. We have an iTunes link. I don't know what our arrangement is.
We don't get any money. Unlike Amazon, we don't get any money from the links.
We do actually get a cut of the Amazon purchases because we link through Amazon.com. But the iTunes there is just kind of purely there for the listeners. If they like this right here, you want to go, it'll be a link to it at our website tonight. I'm Todd Wilkham. We'll be right back.
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video, A Cloud of Witnesses.
What went for Mary, the angel speaks in her ear and changes who she is precisely what happens to every Christian. The Lord speaks and he changes you.
James is a great example to us of sober-minded churchmanship.
The cross looms over all of John's ministry. It's about the cross, the Lamb of God.
We see in Nicholas his love of Jesus Christ acting out in mercy for his neighbors. And we see a role model there that we can imitate.
The church, when she sets the day aside to remember St. Elizabeth, is remembering this shining light of benevolent charity and humility.
It's not a popular position, you know, to stand for true doctrine, and yet that's what Ambrose does.
You can watch A Cloud of Witnesses, our new YouTube video, under the support page at issuesetc.org. Historic, authentic Christian radio. Issues, etc.
Truth centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues, etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues, etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies, whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day. Issues takes them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes in this first hour, then in the second hour of the program, after we pick Issues, Etc. blog of the week, Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. We'll talk about macabre art. We'll also be talking with somebody, Jeff
Dr.
remembers.
Curtis Skeezy, Concordia University, Texas.
Thank you, about the visitation. That is Mary going to see Elizabeth in the Hill Country. That's what they call the visitation. And then we'll play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. You can vote for soundbite of the week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. The voting section has been pushed down a little bit by the well wishes of several of our listeners for our two-year anniversary. But just scroll down a little bit, you'll see the place to vote for Soundbite of the Week.
Mark writes, is Issues Etc. going to be at the convention, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention, coming up, what, in about a week, 10 days?
10 days. Yeah. No, we're not going to be there. And the reason for that largely is my desire to avoid downtown Houston at all times, but especially in the heat of summer. So that's largely the reason we're not going. There's no real reason for us to be there. We've been there before for several conventions, back when it was kind of a required command performance there. We've been there. It was always fine because you could sometimes get guests live there, but by and large, think about it. The time that we do this show live is the time when everybody's on the floor taking care of convention business. And when we're not on the air, they have a little free time and they come by. It's simply not a great way to showcase the show.
But you're forgetting the main reason. This is the reason, the main reason that it was a no-brainer for me. Unless we could broadcast where convention delegates would be, it's futile.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. When they're in their bit,
I thought you said it was the heat and
they're my main reason. But they're in there doing business. We're out in the exhibition hall when we're broadcasting live.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the Lutheran Church, you have to go through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to be able to get in that hall, and they are not going to let us do a live broadcast.
Not this time.
No.
So what we will be doing during the that long Houston convention, we will be bringing updates. We'll have guests talk about what's going on. You know, you can access it yourself over the internet. I believe they have a live stream, but we'll be joining them in progress and all that kind of stuff in the course of our two-hour broadcast every day, and probably getting a little roundup with a guest as we can.
We're going to have a live report to start the show every day, beginning on July the 14th. We'll start the show.
Okay, so that's
live report from Houston. Don't know who that's going to be yet, but it'll happen.
Plenty of people down there who can help us out. So, no, I don't. The last time we went to Houston, it was nice. We did the national show from the lobby of the Hilton, I believe. And it was very nice to do all that. Good to see people. But we ended up recording a bunch of interviews with people because all the smart people are in the delegate hall. So, and plus, Jeff, how many LCMS conventions have you attended?
I think the first one we did was when I met my wife in 95 at the LCMS convention in St. Louis. Then it was the TWA Dome.
Yeah, so once you met Beth there and you derived that single benefit from going to the LCMS convention, did you really want to go to another convention after that?
No.
So I actually lobbied the last time we went to the convention. We were still working for LCMS Inc. not to go at all. It didn't make any sense to me to be down there. And I think I actually got them to agree that instead of going down for all 5 days, we were only going to go down there for 3 days or something like that. I didn't think it was needful to. We live in the 21st century. It's instantaneous communication. We don't have to go to Houston to talk about what's happening in Houston. So.
All right, here's Kevin in Corpus Christi, Texas. This has to do with lots of email regarding your interview with Brian McLaren. He said, Saturday and Sunday, I listened to the two-part interview with Brian McLaren. I was a bit puzzled by the continued evasiveness in answering Todd's questions. Though I can't cite specific examples, there seemed to be enough to warrant a head-scratching, huh, to his answers. I gather Todd had the same experience. Though I don't question McLaren's sincerity in his beliefs, and I don't really sense any ulterior motives, his answers made me think of a George Will column I read many years ago, in which he cited the example of a young woman interviewing an older man who was decrying the Holocaust. I don't remember exactly. When the man said something about his concern, the woman looked at him in complete honesty and said, "How do you know that happened?" George Will distinguished between being open-minded, a good thing, and empty-minded, not a good thing. A second thought was about what we call postmodern. It may have even been on Issues Etc. I heard this, but it's dead on. There is no such thing as postmodernism. Modernism put man at the center of all things, believing that man could be the solution to all problems. What is called postmodern replaces man with me. It's really modernism on steroids. Plain and simple, it's narcissism. McLaren seemed to be banking on the empty-mindedness of most American Christians, as well as the love affair they have with themselves. Why is it that these folks wish to buck the interpretations rendered by the church for two millennia in favor of something they consider new and improved? As far as preferring the words of the Gospels against the epistles, does McLaren realize that by and large some of the epistles predate the Gospels, and that Saul of Tarsus, John, Mark, Luke, Matthew, and John more than likely knew each other? Couple this with the question of the Athanasian Creed statement of the Catholic faith and the condemnations assigned to those who don't hold it, and we've got ourselves a real problem. I began to wonder if McLaren had ever heard of a guy named Marcion. In short, I believe McLaren and his theology. In short, I believe McLaren is theology, if you want to call it that, are a product of liberal American evangelical teaching. The key difference, as I understand it, between Lutherans and the evangelicals is this. Lutherans place Christ at the center of our belief system. The word has to be true because it's about Christ who is at the center, and thus it cannot be changed. Evangelicals, by and large, place Scripture at the center. As a result, the truths about Christ become somewhat malleable because he's not at the center. This book of information called Scripture is, and it depends on how we interpret it. Sorry this went so long. I've been chewing on it for a couple days and wanted to send you all a blast, writes Kevin, and thanks for listening in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Well, thank you for listening in Texas, and smartest listeners in radio. I mean, that's a great analysis of what he heard in that interview with Brian McLaren, and analysis. I like his, he hasn't been the first one to point out that postmodernism is actually just modernism on steroids. It's actually modernism taken to its logical conclusion. Great comment. Thank you very much for the email.